to us, O Lord, through your word. You will encourage us. You will touch us. You will bless us. You will teach us, O God, through your word this morning. Father, less of me, more of your word this morning, O God. More of your spirit, more of your presence, O Lord, I pray. We thank you, O God, for the wonderful spirit that's in this place. For that sweet spirit is in this place. For your presence is here among us this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We adore you. We ask of you, Lord, to continue to be with us. As we sung hymns, as we sung songs and carols, to glorify your name, O God. Accept, O Father, our way we worship you this morning, O God. Have your way this morning upon us this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Praise God. God is good. It's nice to see you all here at New Hope Christian Assembly. If it's your first time you're here with us, welcome to New Hope Christian Assembly. I know you look around, you say there's seats are empty. There are people who are traveling, they're visiting their families and friends all over, and there's also people who are traveling, coming here to Edmonton, and they're with their families. But today we are here celebrating the birth of Christ. It is Christmas morning, and it's a great thing. It's the first time that actually happened on a Sunday morning. It's been a long time. I am 44 years old, but brother. I'm not 65, so I don't remember anything like that. So I remember it's been a long time that this never happened on a Sunday morning. So Christmas, we usually had it on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and then on the Sunday, we had a regular service. But, we're just so grateful today. We can also celebrate this day on Sunday morning. And, thanks be to God that we are here today, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And He given us this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful privilege to give us another day of breath that we hear today. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we are excited to be here. And on behalf of my wife is not here. She is working today. But on behalf of my wife and I, we want to extend, and my family, we want to extend Merry Christmas to you all. I'm not afraid to say Merry Christmas, because it is about Christ. It is not about anything else. It is about Christ. So if anybody's watching online, Merry Christmas. And we don't have to be afraid of saying Merry Christmas. Amen? I went to a store a couple of days ago, and I see one of those East Indians, and he had something on his turban, and then he said, and he's looking at me, he says, "The season's green." I says, "No, Merry Christmas." I says, "I'm celebrating Christ. Aren't we celebrating the birth of Christ? Aren't we celebrating that He's come in this earth and give us that light that you and I can experience, light of life?" Amen. So last night we had a wonderful, awesome time. We were over 100 people. We were 115 people. And we had a wonderful time in praise and worship. We had a wonderful time in singing carols and scripture verses that were there. And a soloist that sang last night also. And there was also a poem that was written. It was a blessing. So that's what Brother Joseph said. Everything was great, but he forgot to say that the preaching was good. Pastor, are you testing me? When God's word is being preached, it is always good. Amen. Amen? If our hearts are open to receive and our ears are ready to hear from God's word, He speaks to our heart through praise and worship, through poems, through testimonies, and also through a servant and through a people. Amen? Always God. So, Brother Joseph, I'm just playing with you a bit here, okay? It is Christmas. We have to have some fun, brother. So last week we did the fruit of Christmas, and that was hope. And today I want to look at the joy of Christmas. I'm trying to brief this up really fast, because I know some of you are going home and you're trying to get ready for that turkey. You want that turkey being, that oven is being there, and you want to go home with your families. And that's a great thing to do. But I was thinking about the joy of Christmas and the joy of what Jesus brings. The joy of Christmas brings what? It brings lights and trees and food and gifts, family and friends all over the place, and everybody's excited, and we get together from the presence of the people, and we're just laughing and smiling. Though some of us are doing, but also some of the people in the world are not actually laughing or smiling. Some of them are probably discouraged and not even have received a gift. Might not have even received even a say, I love you or I appreciate you in this world. But we, the joy of Christmas that we have, like ourselves, right here, we go home and our gifts are ready for us and we're so excited. The 24th, Christmas Eve, we want to open those gifts up. We just want to like, shake those gifts just because we want to be excited. We want to know what we got that year. For my excitement, it was my family. It was my mom when it's preparing her dishes and that food all around. And you ate and ate. And you ate. And you ate until you gained 10 pounds that night. And you always ate, and gifts are over the place, and the excitement, and the brothers and the sisters, they came together, and there was a joy of Christmas. But there's a joy of Christ brings to us is completely the opposite of what the joy of Christmas that you and I face. There is an anticipation, and that anticipation of 4,000 years ago, an anticipation even since the first promise that was given in Genesis chapter 3. That God would send a Savior and He would crush the head of Satan that was promised by God. And the Messiah Jesus would come. And generations to generations are waiting for this Messiah to give the love, to give the joy, to give the hope, to give the peace to the hearts of the people who are searching for that. And we see in the scriptures over and over again that the Messiah would come and a son would be born into this world. In Isaiah 7:14, we see, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. But today we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9 verses 1 to 7. We have heard that many times. If you have your Bibles, get to there as when we're going to start to getting there. We're going to go verse per verse. You know, we always like the sixth verse when it says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is given. A son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that is Isaiah 9:6. But we're going to look at it together after verses 1 to 7, verse per verse. I just wanted to start that with you. So what do we see as this son came? The Messiah came on this earth. We went and would see a Savior from generation to generation, from new to with new hope, what a Savior would be coming, waiting for this Messiah. Dreams, expectations with anticipation. They were waiting that one day God would keep that promise that the son would come on this earth today. And you and I can experience that love and that joy and that peace and that hope. Thank God that He sent His Son into this world that you and I can experience that love, hope, joy, and peace, the light of Jesus Christ. Thank God. And today we're celebrating that. The joy of anticipation was to overshadow the joy of that day. The day which the angel said to them in Luke chapter 2 verse 10. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. We're talking about joy today. Of great joy that will be for all the people. God sent His Son to give us that joy upon our lives. The joy of freedom. The joy of peace. The joy of sufficiency in our lives. And those are the three key things we're going to look at today. The joy of freedom. The joy of peace. and the joy of sufficiency. And with great excitement, and we look at in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, with the great excitement, the shepherds wanted to see this baby. And even as they left, the scriptures say, they left with what? With joy. And the Bible says in Luke 2, 20, it says, then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all these things they have heard and seen, which they're just as they have not been told. They have seen that Jesus, the Messiah, was born, and they were excited, glorifying God, praising God, because God has made that promise and the Messiah has come. And today, we're glorifying God. We are praising God because you and I experienced the Son of God. You and I experienced that love. You and I experienced that hope and that peace in our life this morning. And that's what should be excitement, the joy that brings in our life. It's not about the gifts. Though the gifts is excitement. Everybody is happy to see those gifts. But let me tell you one thing. Whenever the gifts are finished, and Christmas is over, tomorrow is another day. You're going to go to school. You're going to go to work. You're going to be going whatever you have to do. But it kicks in. The reality is that's not the joy of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas is not about those kinds of gifts. Those true meaning of gifts. Is what? What is it? Is a deep rooting relationship with the Son of God. And He's the one that will fill our hearts this morning. He's the one that came to give us that life in our life, that we can serve Him for all eternity. God kept His promise and the joy that Christ brings. There is one significant about the joy of Christmas and the joy of Christ brings. The primarily thing is different is the length and the depth of what the joy brings in a life. The length of the Christmas gifts will end, but the length with Christ is everlasting. It does not end. The depth of a Christmas is for a certain time, but the depth with Christ is for eternity and eternity and eternity, and it hits the heart of a person. That's the difference between the joy of Christmas, that tomorrow will just leave and forget about the gifts and all the gifts. Let me tell you something. Those gifts are going to be in an attic. And they might be in a Kijiji sign or something. And they'll be lost. And they'll be broken. But the reality is that's not about Christmas. You know, these days, last month, the month of December, I was watching movies with my wife, once I have a time, half an hour, 20 minutes, watching the Christmas movies. Who watches Christmas movies? Don't raise your hands, because I'm going to attack it right now. And I watch these movies about Christmas, and it's all about food and giving and everybody and his sons and all the coming together, the family. It's okay. It's nice. But it always ends up with a couple making up, and then they're getting married. Is that really the true meaning of Christmas? It is actually overshadowing the true meaning of Christmas. It's not portraying what is really Christmas. It's about they're arguing and then they get together. It always ends up like that. So when I see them near the end and they're starting to get together and starting to kiss, I tell my wife, close that TV right now. No, this is the good part. Close that TV. I don't want to see it anymore. Because the true meaning of Christmas is about the birth of Christ. The true meaning of Christmas is Christ came on this earth for you and I. And it's overshadowing the real true meaning of Christmas. People around the world are even confused what is about Christmas. They think it's about gifts. It's not about gifts. It is about Christ. It is about Christ Himself. And He's ready to come. The joy of Christmas. The joy of sending freedom to the ones who are captive. That's why He came here. That's why He came here for us. And you and I experienced that freedom today. Because He has come to set us free. And if we are here today, because Christ set you free. And you experienced the light, the joy of Jesus. The joy of Christ brings a deep rooting abiding love that we have for Christ that understands that He keeps His promise that He will give us a son that gives us the joy, the love, the peace, and the hope. That life we have in Christ will last forever in eternity. We don't have to put it in an attic. We don't have to put it on a shelf and collect dust. But we have it for eternity, eternity, and eternity. The reason why people are having a hard time about Christmas is because some people have no idea what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. When we truly understand what's the true meaning of Christmas, it is a completely different thing in our lives. And we look at it in a different way. To enjoy the love, the life that lasts for eternity, that peace is broken to the brokenhearted, the hope that people have lost. That's the real meaning of Christmas. There's no other place in the Bible that talks about the joy of Christmas. And we look at it in Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2. And that's our text this morning. Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 7. And we'll read it. It says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom." You're going to look at these key words here this morning. "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom" is one word. "For those who were in distress" is another word. "In the past he humbled. In the land of," how do you say that word? Thank you. "And in the land of," thank you very much. "But," verse 2, "in the future he will honor Galilee and of the Gentiles. By the way of the sea along the Jordan, the people who are walking in have seen a great, and of those living in the land of the shadow of death, and the light has dawned." Let's stop there for verses 1 and 2. We see there's key words there. You know, and we look at Isaiah for a moment here. It was written in times of sin. People were living in sin. Israelites were sinning at that precious time, at that time. And God sent prophets to Israel and Judah. The work of the prophets was to proclaim God's word as the Lord gave him through the Holy Spirit. And we see that in 2 Peter. But this would include a foretelling of future events. So if you look at Isaiah, it's amazing. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding it, but if you read it all, there's wonderful promises and prophecies right there in Isaiah. So if prophets are also reminded that people of past events and give instructions about what they ought to do at the present. So Isaiah was written to the people that were experiencing a lost hope. God's word was to rebellious people forsaking the Lord. And we can see that if we go back into the first chapter of Isaiah, we see, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a broad of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy of Israel. They have turned away backward." So verse 1 and 2, as when we look at this, we see that the gloom, the darkness, the oppression is because of their failures, not the failures of God. It's the failures of man. They were living in sin. They were walking away from God. They were doing the opposite of what God intended to do. And Israel was known for that, as a disobedience before God. And God has prepared it, planned it in a way to send a child in verse 6. But we have to understand verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 to really go to the verse 6 to say, "For unto us a child is born." So Israel was facing a difficult time of disobedience because also in a rebellious way they were walking away from God. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21 and 22, it tells us right there, "They will pass through it hard pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry, they will be enlarged and curse their king and their God. And look upward, and they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness and gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness." It is because of the sin that there's a punishment right there. There's a consequences to pay. So there was darkness. There was gloom. There was a walk in darkness, the shadow of death. Those are the key words. But God has a greater plan for the people of Israel. And that's why He sent a child, a son, to go out there to set the people free and to give them freedom in their life so they can experience the same experience that you and I have today, is that hope, the joy, the love, and that peace. So, and the promise that the Father makes was an increasing joy. Isaiah 9:3 says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. Because we looked at number one and two is their experience with the life that they were living in. They were disobedient. They were away from God. And now when we go into verse 3, you see, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. The joy that is revealing here is the joy of Jesus Christ, that he will be coming. It is the joy of his first coming and then the joy of the second coming. But he said the joy that Christ brings, it is an increasing in depth, abiding joy that lasts forever and ever. The one who knows him, if you know him, it is in the depth of your heart, the joy of Christ. And look at it carefully here in verse 4, 5, and 6. There's something extremely important that speaks about the joy. That's why I want to talk to you about the joy of freedom, the joy of peace, and the joy of sufficiency. Look at verse 4 for a moment. It tells us, for you have, we stop there. Or here it says, for as, verse 5, look at that. For the, again, it's not that one, but mine says this. It's probably another version. And another one says, in verse 6, it says, for a child was born. So it's all 4, 4, 4. There's a reason why. 4, 4, 4. So three things. The first one I want to look at, Jesus brings the joy of freedom. So Israel, we're facing a situation, departing from God, sinning, going around, and now he sends a Christ son that wants to send it to this earth, and he says, I'm going to bring you the joy of freedom. So you and I experience the joy of freedom. Because look at this, verse 4. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff on his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. You must have looked at this verse. What is this all about? For unto us the child is born. But we have to really understand verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to really understand the 6. Because we don't want to take the scriptures out of context. You want to understand why, what's happening here. So you ask those questions right here. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff on his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. There's key things there that is important for us this morning. The come of Jesus brings us the joy of freedom. Coming like a mighty warrior. Someone brave would come, someone like Gideon, if you know the story of Gideon's story, and you see that in Book of Judges. The day of Midian, it tells us right here, is taking us back to Judges 6, 7, and 8. And we all remember the story of Gideon. Similar, the people of Israel were being attacked and continue being attacked. They have had great oppression on their life. The Israelites would grow in their crops, and the Midianites would take them away from them. So if they had the calf, they would come and take them away. If they had crops, the Midianites would come and take it away. So there was this oppression. There was this fear. There was this thing that was happening, taking control of the Israelites. And the Midianites were facing this all the time, this fear, this oppression that was coming to just destroy them and to bring them down. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us. He comes, and he comes from the back, and he wants to bring oppression, and he wants to bring depression, and he wants to just destroy us. And you just sense that it's always coming, and it's always coming, and it does not stop. But remember one thing, he sent Jesus Christ to set us free. He sent Jesus Christ to set us free, and that's the beauty of it. But look at this to this, when we look in Judges 6, 7 to 11, you know the story very well. And if you don't know it, I encourage you to go read it later on, or the next time you have a time, just look at the scriptures and read Judges 6, 7, and 8, and you will see God sent who? Gideon. And there was 20,000 men to have to fight with the Midianites. And then not 20, then 10,000 men, but not even 10,000 men, 300 men had to fight the Midianites. And who won the battle? So God sent Gideon to go and set these people free and make them win the battle. God had a plan, and it's a similar thing. And when you look at Isaiah, we have this oppression. We have things that are just put us down. We have things that want to bring us down. But God sent us a son to set us free, the joy of freedom. And you and I can experience that because he sent his son for you and I, the joy of freedom. He used Gideon in Judges. But here in Isaiah we see he sends the Messiah to set us free. To come and to demonstrate his grace conquers in all the failures to bring, delivers us an increased joy in our life. The joy of freedom that Christ brings. That is what it says. He is breaking the rod of what? Of oppressors. He's breaking the rod of oppressors. He has come to deliver us from the oppression of sin and to save us. And in John 8 it says, Jesus showed up and said, the freedom is found in Jesus. As we stand here today, for between the first coming and the second coming of the Messiah Jesus, we look back and we see the freedom at the cross. And we look forward to see his return. Thank God that he sent his son, that you and I can have this freedom, the joy of freedom. And not only that, the joy of freedom that Christ brings, not only that Christ brings joy of freedom, he also brings us the joy of peace. And you look at it in verse 5, we'll read it together, Isaiah 9 verse 5, for every warrior's sandals from the noisy battle and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning in fuel of fire. There's nothing about Christmas right here. You see that there's blood and there's every garment rolled in blood and sandals. Is anything about Christmas there? There's nothing about Christmas there. There's not a carol singing there. You know, it's actually talking about, very simple, it speaks about sandals and bloody garments. And what it says is that it will be burnt into the fire. So God would take the weapons of the enemy and all of his tactics of the enemy, gathered together, and it will be destroyed, and God will send peace. You see, where there is no enemies, there's always peace. Where there is no enemies, there's always peace. Jesus, but always brings the peace. And the first coming, and on the second coming, the first coming, we see that John, in 1 John 3, for the purpose of the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the work of the devil. So his first coming is he came on this earth to destroy the work of the enemy, to put it down, to take all his shams, to take all his tactics and throw it away and to burn it away. Though we face this every day, the enemy has this what? This way of bringing his tools to destroy the people of God. And the only way we are going to overcome it is when God has sent his son, that we can fight this tactics, his plans, and his ways of trying to destroy us. What is the peace that we experience? The peace that we experience in his first coming is the peace of God that we have in relationship with Jesus. We walked in rebellion with God outside the plan of God. And because of his dying on the cross, and because of his resurrection, we can experience the peace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have not experienced that peace with God, today is the day for you to experience the peace of God. Because he sent his son for you and I to experience that peace. So the first coming and the second coming, Jesus brings the joy of peace. So you have to understand, we are already seeing the first coming of Jesus. He has come on earth. We're just waiting for the second coming of Jesus now. Second coming of the Lord, of the Messiah coming down here. Though many are still waiting for the first, but you and I have experienced the first. And you and I have experienced the joy of peace because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we have that peace today. But people are still waiting for that first Messiah. People are still waiting for him to come. But they're just waiting, and you can wait all they want, because I can tell you one thing, you and I experience that peace, because you and I know that he's here, because he is here with us, among us. Emmanuel, God is with us this morning. And the scripture tells us, it's not, we don't take it from a dictionary, it's the scripture that tells us that the Messiah has come. And we're just waiting for his second coming. And when the second coming comes, he will also come and give us the peace. Whatever it is, the first or the second coming, he will come and he sends the joy of peace upon his people. Don't we want that peace? Aren't we tired of trouble, of enemies coming after us? But today, we have the joy of peace. Today, we have the joy of peace. The second, another point that I want to look at, I know I'm going briefly. So the first point was the joy of what? Freedom. We experience freedom. Israel experienced freedom. Then the joy of peace. We've just spoke about it. And then the next one is the joy of sufficiency. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Now we can go to the scripture that you want to hear. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those names are pointed to us, sent as a Messiah to us. He sent it for us. And those names, like Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, there's significance of all those names, and it's pointed directly to us. I'm not just going to send you someone to watch and look at you, but he is mighty. He is powerful. He's everlasting. He's a Prince of Peace that comes. The joy of what? The joy of freedom. The joy of what? The joy of peace. And the joy of sufficiency. He gives us more than we can even handle upon our lives. Sufficiency, sufficient plan for us is he's a wonderful counselor. His plan are always right for us. He knows the best for me. He knows the best for you. And then we look at sufficient power. He is a mighty God. He has accomplished all things that concern you and the hope for every believer. He is mighty. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is big. He is not small. And he has come into these names for you and I. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Because in Psalm 46:1 says, God is God, the refuge of his people and conqueror of all the nations. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him in Psalm 28:7. So we looked at this. We're looking at he will come and the government will come upon his shoulder and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And another name we're going to look at is Everlasting Father right there. Eternal Father. He also has the provision for you and I. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Faith is in Jesus Christ. And lastly, we look at the Prince of Peace. Us with him and we each other. That Prince of Peace. He comes and gives us that peace. And when you and I experience that peace, we should give that peace to one another individuals. John 14 says, my peace I leave you. My peace I leave you. Every time he spoke and came in, peace be among you. Peace be among you. The joy of peace. The joy of peace. The joy of freedom, the joy of sufficiency. Those are the three things we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And then it's all about verse 7 too. We got to look at verse 7 for a moment. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From the time forward, even forever, here it is, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. No one else. The zeal, that's the key. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. No other person can do this. Not a statue can do this. Not a picture frame can do this. Not something that is dead, has not resurrected, can do this. It is only Jesus, the Messiah, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. His zeal, his love that he has towards us of hope will perform this. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, as we looked at it. So verse 7, there's a coming joy, and that coming joy is of righteous rule. The coming joy of justice, we'll look at it. The coming joy of victory over Jesus Christ. And we must declare that victory because Jesus is here. The Son is born and He's with us this morning. The zeal of the Lord is the most important part of all this. God is doing these things because He loves you and me. God longs to do so. He longs to see you delivered. He longs to see you having increasing joy in the midst of the difficult time of your life. So this morning, we should not miss out the joy of Christ, the everlasting joy in Jesus Christ. Come to Him, He says. Come to me, trust me, and I will fill your life with living waters and find the joy in Christ. Have we experienced this joy of freedom? I pray we did. Have we experienced the joy of peace? I pray we did. Have we enjoyed the joy of sufficiency? He gives us more than we even ask or even think of. He is an amazing God. He's planned everything from the beginning to the end of this book, of this chapter of Revelation, from the beginning to the end of the Bible. Yes, promises over promises, prophecies over prophecies. And thank God that He said a promise in that prophecy that one day the Son will come. For unto us the Son will be born and given to us, that you and I can experience the love, the joy, the peace, and that hope. And you and I are experiencing that this morning. But if there's someone who is not experiencing that this morning, I encourage you to look at that. Look at the Christ. Look at that Son. He sent Him here for you and I to set us free. To set us free. To give us freedom. To give us peace. To give us sufficient things in our life. The joy that brings in our hearts. Amen. Now, Christmas. We look at the conclusion of the Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas, we all know, is about Christ. It's not about anything else that overshadows. You know, we have a hard time, really. Sometimes when you look around, people are going crazy and berserk out there to look for gifts for someone. It's okay, but that joy will finish. You probably see people fighting in line to get a gift that's worth $19.99. But in reality, they're even stealing from you because it was probably $14.99 the day before. We argue over argue. But the true meaning of Christmas is about Christ. C-H-I-R-I-S-T. Christ. It's about Christ. And I want to leave with this morning with you. Have you experienced the fruit of Christmas joy? If you have not experienced it, let this day be that day. When you leave this place, that joy will fill your heart. He will set you free. He will give you that peace, and He will just be sufficient in your life that it will never go away. It will stay there, but that's the joy of Jesus living within your life. Let's all stand this morning. So once again, we want to say, and we're not afraid to say it. I know sometimes we have a hard time even going to stores. As Brother Ulrich and the team come up, we want to sing a last song. We have a hard time saying Merry Christmas. But let's practice here. Merry Christmas. Because when we go to the stores or we go somewhere and you see someone that it doesn't have, he doesn't believe and says season's greetings, you're going to turn around and say Merry Christmas. Because it is about Christ. It's nothing about anything else. I like that song that we conclude with a pumped up, you know, to go home. And at least we're pumped up. We can have a good time later on with our families. It's the one we sang, I don't know which one there, the pumped up one, okay? And now I'll conclude with a word of prayer. Unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. Yes, that one there. Okay, please. Bless you, brother.
For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, a son is given. The Messiah, oh to see him, to see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. A son is given. For unto us a child is born. A son is given. A son is given. The Messiah. Oh, to see him, to see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Yes, he is.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
One more time.
Holy, holy,
for his name
holy,
shall be called Wonderful,
holy,
Counselor,
holy, holy,
Mighty God, the Prince of
holy,
Peace.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Father, we come to a conclusion of this morning. We thank you, Father, for sending us a son, your son, Jesus, the Messiah. He is among us this morning, O God. Many of us have experienced this peace. Many of us have experienced this joy. Many of us have experienced, O Father, the freedom and the sufficient, O God. Father, I ask of you, Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here who has not, I pray, oh God, that they would just take this moment and to reflect on you, Lord, and to reflect what you have done sending your Son for us. Father, we thank you. We love you. Father, I pray, Father, for every family member here, every friend, every visitor. I ask you, Lord, that you would just be with them, oh God. Bless them tremendously, oh Lord. As they go home, even with their families, oh Lord, just to reflect and take a moment and just remind themselves that the true meaning of Christmas is about you, Lord. It's about you, Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Father, we want to say that we love you, we adore you. Give us traveling mercies, O God, wherever we go now, O God. Protect us and bring us safely back as we unite ourselves together into this place to worship your name. Father, be with us, O God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.